Welcome back to the Let's Be Friends podcast. This is your host, Kara. It is the night before the big eclipse, the big X eclipse, the second half of the Great American Coincidence, as I'm calling it, the Great American Eclipse, that started in 2017, I think on August 21st, and then passed over the United States. And then now we are having this other half that is crossing over the same path in one spot, like to make an X over the United States. And this one is happening tomorrow as a total solar eclipse. And everybody, if you haven't heard of this, then you must have been sitting under a rock because it's all over the news. We're all probably like tired of hearing about it, but it is very interesting. And another one won't happen for hundreds and hundreds of years. So let's just chat about what I'm calling the Great American Coincidence. So the English word eclipse comes from a Greek word that means disappearance or abandonment. A solar eclipse is the moment in which the sun disappears, abandoning the world. It's like being forsaken by a god. The ancient Greeks thought of the solar eclipse as an act of abandonment, a terrible crisis, and an existential threat. It meant that the king would fall, that terrible misfortunes would rain down on the world, or that demons had swallowed the sun. In Transylvania, people believed an eclipse was caused by the sun turning its back on the sins of humanity, creating a poisonous dew. The Inca viewed an eclipse as a sign that the sun god Inti was angry and required an appeasement with offerings. For the Native American Tiwa tribe, an eclipse meant that the angry sun was leaving the sky to go visit his home in the underworld. Aztec priests predicted that if there was a solar eclipse accompanied by an earthquake on the date 4-Olin, the world would end. So every year on 4-Olin, they perform a ritual human sacrifice. That's crazy. Are there still Aztecs around? The Greeks thought an eclipse meant that the gods were about to rain punishment down on a king. So in the days before an eclipse, they would choose prisoners or peasants to stand in as the king in hopes they'd get the eclipse punishment and the real king would be saved. Once the eclipse was over, the substitute king was executed. That's harsh. The idea that a solar eclipse meant a demon was swallowing the sun shows up in eclipse folklore across the globe. And if you look at pictures of a partial solar eclipse, you can see why. It's easy to imagine that some giant creature is slowly taking a bite after bite out of the sun. In ancient China, the earliest word for eclipse, shish, meant to eat, and eclipses were believed to be caused by a dragon eating the sun. In Vietnam, the sun eater was a frog. For the Native American Pomo, it was a bear. In Yugoslavia, it was a werewolf. In Siberia, a vampire. In ancient Egypt, Apep, the serpent of chaos and death, opposed Ra, the sun god, and was always trying to reach Ra's skyboat to devour the sun disk. But in the end, Ra was always able to fight him off, and the sun would come back. In Norse mythology, the sky wolves Hadean Skoll chased the sun and moon endlessly, waiting for Ragnarok. Isn't that a movie, Ragnarok? When they can both finally swallow their prey and plunge the earth into darkness, heralding the final destruction of the Viking gods. Interesting. In some folklore, eclipses weren't always seen as a cosmic calamity. Sometimes they just meant that the sun and the moon, who were usually understood to be a married couple, were working out their issues, celestial marriage counseling. For the Tlingit tribes of North America, as well as some Australian Aboriginal cultures, an eclipse meant that the sun and the moon were having more children. The stars and planets that had become apparent in the darkness of an eclipse but weren't otherwise visible. For the Bada Habiba people of Togo and Benin in Africa, an eclipse meant the sun and moon were fighting with each other. So to encourage them to come to peace, people would approach eclipses as an opportunity to resolve their feuds and put away old grudges. For the Inuits, the sun and moon weren't a married couple, but a brother and a sister. At the beginning of the world, they quarreled, and the sun goddess Melina walked away from her brother, the moon god, Anagan. Anagan continued to chase after her, and whenever he caught up to her, there was an eclipse. So there's a lot of different ways that different folklore think about what an eclipse is and what it means. There is also the biblical way of looking at eclipses, and we're going to talk a lot about that because there is a tremendous amount of biblical symbolism and synchronicities, or shall we call them coincidences, surrounding this eclipse. So if you've been following this podcast, which I'm guessing you have, if you're part of the Friendship membership, thank you. You know that I do believe there is a handling of the narrative right now that's kind of scripting out what sort of looks like a fake apocalypse that is taking advantage of what the Bible has said and is sort of like recreating that right now, especially with what's going on in the Middle East. And it's deep. There's a lot that goes behind this. It ties into a lot of what we're seeing right now with this eclipse. I do believe, but like willful suspension of disbelief, if some of these things are planned, like this fake apocalypse narrative, it would have been put into plan, like I'm guessing the 1500s into the 1600s before the Protestant Reformation. I think the Protestant Reformation is a piece of this. And with that said, like I should probably record, I am going to record an episode on this coming soon. So I will have a lot more information about that concept and why I believe that. But it does, what I'm seeing with this eclipse and the symbolism behind it, like it is a lot of synchronicities and it seems pretty out there that this could be planned. But if we're thinking about this with a biblical eye, and we know according to scriptures that a third of angels fell from heaven, you know, Satan and let's call them his minions, the fallen angels, and that would have been thousands of years ago. And so let's say they're ageless beings, disembodied spirits, demons, and they are somehow trying to manipulate this world, probably through the use of empty vessels, because they need vessels because they don't have them. They're just, I guess, not a soul, but I don't know exactly what a demon would be, right? It has some kind of personality. But by like people like John Dee, honestly, this is probably how this happened, because this was the 1500s, Queen Elizabeth I, astrologer. This is probably exactly how this happened. Channeling these Enochian spirits, that's what they call themselves, but they're just the fallen angels, I believe. And they gave him the Enochian language, which is what like is tied to Solomon's temple and what is tied to the Masonic beliefs and Luciferianism. So John Dee channeled all this information, and it was like basically telling Queen Elizabeth how to, like, she could take over the world and stuff. And through that, even like keyboards came out. Like the symbols on keyboards are Twilight language. They're like occult sigils. Like these occult sigils in this Enochian language came out of the work that John Dee did, supposedly. And so then right after that, like the Royal Academy comes out, the Jesuits start doing their stuff with the Knights of Templar. And this is after the Catholic Reformation, because the Catholic Reformation was 1054 when Roman Catholicism was actually created, which is a big part of this. This is like a multi-thousand year psyop, guys, being done by the fallen angels is what I'm trying to get at here in a confusing way. And that's why I should really stick to the eclipse topic on this. But when I started kind of untangling all of this and realized with this willful suspension of disbelief that I'm kind of alluding to have, you can see how the stuff I'm going to discuss, the great American coincidences, all the synchronicities about this eclipse, they're just mind blowing, are like, this could be biblical. If you are enjoying this episode of the Let's Be Friends podcast, head on over to the Let's Be Friends podcast website and sign up for the Friendship membership, and you get the whole episode plus 50 other bonus episodes, and you support the podcast. It means so much to me. Thank you all for being my friends, and have a great night.